I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly.
Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. We're going to Wembley. Que sera, sera.
What will be, will be. Que sera, sera.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Never going to be a routine 1-0 home win, was it? Never mind. Que sera, sera. This is Charlton Live. So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. Coming to you live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendez. I'm going to Wembley. Joining me in the studio here is Mr. Tom Walling. You're going to Wembley too.
I'm going to Wembley as well.
Que sera, sera to you as well. Nathan Muller, how you doing?
Buzzing.
Are you off to Wembley?
Yeah, I am, baby.
Living the dream?
Yeah, I'll be living the dream on living Sunday. I know that for a fact.
You'll be there in more than one way as well, won't you?
Yeah, we'll be.
More details to follow. More details to follow later on the show. I've dreamt of doing this show for quite a long time. It's the Charlton Live We're Going to Wembley show, because Charlton are going to Wembley after a quite remarkable playoff semi-final second leg here against Doncaster Rovers on Friday evening. They like to put us through it, don't they? The ringer. I feel like we've got our own Charlton branded ringer that they have to feed all the fans through. We can't have anything nice without paying for it the hard way, because when you go 1-0 up and you're home, I mean, that was game over. Game over after 1 minute. Oh, no, it wasn't. Not the way we do it. Charlton ended up going to Wembley on penalties after a topsy-turvy rollercoaster playoff semi-final here against Doncaster Rovers. We're going to celebrate the fact that Charlton are at Wembley. We're going to hear the highlights. And I'm telling you now, get the tissues at the ready, because Because you're crying, not for the other reason, unless the passion takes you. Because, but get your in case you cry about the, because Terry and Greg, wow. And so we're going to hear that. We're going to, of course, hear from Lee Bowyer, the man who's taken us to Wembley for the first time in 21 years. That's an exclusive interview. We've got an interview with Josh Cullen, one of the men who scored in the penalty shootout, one of Charlton's best performers this season. We spoke to him in the tunnel after the game. We've also got a very special exclusive interview with the assistant manager, Mr. Charlton himself, Johnny Jackson, came to speak to me in the tunnel after the game. It's a packed show tonight. I really can't wait to play you all of those interviews. If we've got time, and I did say this to Richard Wiseman from the Supporters Trust, talking about the season ticket survey, which is important because there is still stuff going on off the field as well that we need to talk about, but we may have to serve that for Thursday because I can see already that so many of you want to have your say this evening. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there where you can have your say on tonight's show. Let us know how your emotions were going during that 90 minutes plus extra time plus penalties on Friday night, because I was a mess for long spells of it, and I'm just glad that we came out on top. It was a remarkable evening. So if you've had your say, feel free to do so. If you haven't yet, make sure you message us and we'll read it out on tonight's show again if we have time, because so many people want to express their joy that Charlton are going to Wembley. Tom, Thursday night show, I think between us we were saying, if we get an early goal, Sean Newton-esque to 1998, like we did in the playoff semi-final against Ipswich, it'll be fine. And for 9 minutes, it was.
Well, it was, wasn't it? Because we won. But it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. Apart from that first minute and that last second, I hated every single minute of Friday. But at the same time, I wouldn't have rather been anywhere else. It was everything as a football fan you want. We had the ups, we had the downs. Like you said, it felt like you'd been in a washing machine or something. You're just kind of thrown around for 120 minutes. And then at the end, that penalty went wide and... and that was it. We were there.
Tears flowing.
Yep. I just didn't move. Just stood there. Tried to take it all in. I still don't think I've properly come to terms with it, to be honest with you.
I haven't yet.
21 years for this. I think it's going to take a little while. But as you say, going back to the start of the game, we all just thought, right, get one goal. They're never going to score three here. And not how it turned out. But the perfect start and just the noise when that goal went in, because obviously being full, the place was absolutely rocking.
Yeah, what an evening it was. And I imagine now, when you think about it, like the Sunderland playoff final 21 years ago in 98, a 4-4 draw, and I love that Sky commentator going 4-4. Charlton have been here before. Brilliant commentary as well. Once you've come out the right end of it, then you'll look on that fondly. But I mean, again, I got up to the Swan. We all got up to the Swan after the game last night, and I was just drained. I just sat in that chair, weirdly watching Glenn Tilbrook from Squeeze playing pool on the tall table. But I was just, I could barely speak. I was chatting to my friends, and so I had one little sing song, and I was just drained because it was a remarkable evening. And to set up another game with Sunderland, I mean, this club does fate, doesn't it? This club loves fate, and to set up another one with Sunderland, whatever happens, it's a remarkable coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a surreal situation. I was on the Roker Report, which is Sunderland's podcast, back in August.
Why don't you just go support Sunderland if you love them so much.
Before we played them back in, obviously, first game of the season. And then I predicted that we'd have them in the playoffs, in the final. but I won't tell you what I also said as well, just in case it happens. But listen, I mean, I said they win on penalties, just a fate.
You said that now we can, because on Thursday you were talking about penalties, and then you wouldn't say who you thought would miss, but off air, you told us you thought Christian Bielik would be missing, so luckily he got injured towards the end.
Yeah. Well, he did a decent thing and dragged him off.
Yeah, Steve Brown suggested he might have had penalty-itis, but I think he was genuinely interested. Right, look, I know why a lot of people are listening right now, because they want to hear... they've got their tissues at the ready again, hopefully for the right reasons. But they want to hear the commentary highlights from Friday night's game on Valley Pass. Your commentators, and what a job they did, is Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Cullen and Aribo over this. It's about 5 or 6 yards outside the left edge of the Doncaster penalty area, heading towards the cover in the left side. Waiting for the referee's ruling. Cullen goes on a run. Aribo just stalls. The run is at a decoy. Cullen now knocks it in. Bielik with a header! Yes! 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 Mr. Bielik! Yes! Fitzgerald in front of the tie, and 3-1 up in the on aggregate. What a perfect start. It was a little decoy run from Josh Cullen. Doncaster fell for it. A dink ball to the edge of the six-yard box. Christian Billick got there first. And Mark Amorosi had no chance in keeping it out.
Well, that's the start Charlton wanted. A superb training ground drill. Credit to the coaching staff for that one. We saw that Arriba was never going to take that. Cullen with a decoy. Came back, chipped it in. Doncaster was slow to react. And Christian Billick, the Arsenal loanee, rose highest and heads home for the Addicts. What a start. The atmosphere is electric. This place is bouncing.
Downing for Doncaster in the centre circle. On the plus side, Charlton 1-0 up. Slightly negative as we've got another 80 minutes. Oh, a breakaway as Doncaster break and they score! Tommy Rowe in the penalty area. Charlton fall asleep, give the ball away. And it's 1-1 on the night.
Yeah, very sloppy from the defence there. They seem to split. No one followed the run of Rowe. Got a little bit lucky with the way the ball fell to him. And a good powerful strike past Dylan Phillips. And out of nothing, Doncaster have an equaliser. Charlton still with the one goal advantage, but that's just sent a little bit of nerves down the Charlton team.
I did think it at the time as the corner comes in. It's a deep one. Bauer beaten to it. It's a goal. Butler beats Bauer to the ball and heads it in. 2-1. 2-1 on the night. 3-3.
It's just a simple corner to the back post. Butler getting ahead of Bauer. Just a simple knockdown. And Doncaster level on the, well, they're winning on the night, but level on the tie. Now Charlton needs to go again
towards Park, and there is the final whistle, and it's finished 2-1 here at full time. 3-3 on aggregate in the time. We go to extra time and Doncaster can break away with May. May's got Wilkes to his right. Wilkes towards the corner of the penalty area. Nabisar across, trying to stop him getting on his left. Cuts across with his right. It's a free header. And Doncaster take the lead with Marquis.
They just totally switched off the Addicts. A quick counter-attack. Alfie May bringing the ball forward. Bowers out of position, trying to close him down. May drove with it. Found Wilkes. Wilkes cut inside onto his right foot. Ball across goal. And Marquis with an absolute free header. No offside. And Doncaster, for the first time in this tie, have the lead. Still a lot of football to be played. And if you've watched any sort of football over the last few weeks, believe in me, this is far from over.
Body blow, the Charlton switching off, thinking they had Doncaster on the ropes. But it was the away side that hit Charlton on the break. Nobody followed Marquis into the box.
As I said, Terry, though, there is still plenty of time, and I won't feel that way. We've got, what, 20 minutes?
Restart. Williams, oh, he's taken out again. This time. I want to see who that was, actually. But Charlton take it quickly anyway, doesn't matter. It's out to Dickstill. Dickstill down the line into Taylor. Taylor goes past his man, ball into the box. Oh, it's squared across. Yes! On the end to squeeze it into the net. Charlton back on level terms within a minute.
That's the perfect response. We go again. Darren Bradley just nudging the ball home. I talked about the balls in the box, not quite finding a man. That one did. I told you this game wasn't over. It's far from over.
It's all square again. 3-2 on the night. 4-4 on aggregate. So it goes back to Nabisar. Sarr, one last launch forward perhaps. No. Chips it towards... No, there is the final whistle. We're in the penalties. Chris Solick has the honour. Rossi taking his time to get back. Trying to play as many mind games as he can. Chris Solly steps forward. strikes it into the left hand corner. Cholner, the first one.
There's your captain. Dispatch. Keeper dive to his right, solid the other way. Now for Dylan Phillips to try and step up for Charlton. Whiteman to take.
Whiteman into the roof of the net. It's 1-0. He does the old finger on his lips nonsense.
Yeah, good penalty. Very, very good penalty. The way he ran up to the ball as well, he just ran up straight away. Dispatched. Phillips had no chance. Josh Collins turn.
Josh Collins strides forward, shoots it left, and oh,
come on,
dribbles into the right hand corner from Charlton. 2-1.
Sigh of relief there for Josh Collins, blows his cheeks, but I think he was waiting for the goalkeeper to move, so it didn't matter how he caught in the end. Well done, Josh.
Sadly up for Doncaster.
He doesn't look confident here, Sadler. He looks nervous.
Takes it all just over Dylan Phillips' outstretched arm and into the right-hand corner.
Again, he just hit that very, very well. Nowhere near Dylan Phillips.
Lyle Taylor strides forward. 2-2 on penalties. Morosi taking his time again. Val Taylor with that slow build-up. Takes it into the bottom right-hand corner. Again, Charlton have the lead.
Confidence that from low. I thought he might change his run-up. Keeper didn't really move, which made it even difficult for him. That slow run-up that he does, he waits for the keeper to move. And he did in the end. And now it's Crawford for Doncaster. The third penalty of Doncaster.
Oh, into the roof of the net. To the left of Dylan Phillips. We're all square again.
Fair play to Doncaster. Their three penalties have been outstanding. Rebo's turn.
Joe Rebo. Three all. Steps forward. Takes it, calmly places it into the left side of the keeper, to his right. Charlton are back in front again.
Well done, Joe. Here's someone who'll probably be playing at a high level one day and might have to play in a penalty shootout in a higher division. That'll give him good experience.
This is a huge penalty. It's marquee for Doncaster. He steps forward. Left-hand side and blocked the marquee penalty, and Nabi Sarr will stride forward, and can he put Charlton in the playoff final? Nabi Sarr to take the fifth penalty. Marquee got booked in the process. Nabi Sarr steps forward. On his safe. Can this get any worse?
Oh, the emotions. Dylan saves this though.
It's Rowe for Doncaster. Reeve steps forward. And he missed it! He's missed it! And Charlton!
Yes! Yes!
Are in the Wembley final! I don't believe it! In the most astonishing method possible! Rowe, who scored the first goal for Charlton, for Doncaster, has missed a penalty and sends Charlton through to the playoff final against Sunderland. Fans are on the pitch. The emotions are so, so high. And we're there. Oh, we're there.
Guys.
Wow. What an evening. What an evening. What a topsy-turvy game. What a start. What a horrible 80 minutes after that. What an incredible period of extra time. What a night for Tommy Rowe to finally graduate from the Michael Gray School of Penalty Taking. That was just incredible. Well done to Terry and Greg. I was going to say for keeping it together, but they didn't. But who cares? Because that is exactly how we all were in those stands, and in some cases on that pitch as well, when that penalty went wide from Rowe, and we're in the Wembley final. Tom, can you describe your feelings when that penalty went wide?
No, not really. I stand behind that goal, and there was obviously you can hear it there, the booing, the whistling, the jeering, the dancing, waving, just anything to put the penalty taker off, and it went wide, and obviously everyone went mad. And all I remember is I just stood there, just stood completely still, trying to just take in what had happened, and people running on the pitch and everything. I must have stood there for, it felt like, about 20 minutes. And then when one of the...
That's how long Lyle Taylor took on his run-up.
Yeah, about the same. And then LA started, and then I sort of caught up with everyone, was like, oh my God, we've done this. But it was just... I mean, I've watched the little 8-minute clip that Sky put out of the highlights back probably 5-6 times this weekend. I still can't quite... It makes me nervous watching it back every single time. There are so many emotions and so many extreme emotions over the course of, what, just over 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And I just don't think I've processed it yet at all. It was just an incredibly special night in the end. But as I said earlier, one that I hated for the majority of it. But that moment then, when I finally realised and could accept that we'd made it, was just unbelievable.
It's one of those nights where... It felt like that at almost every turn we weren't going to win, because, you know, obviously we got that opening goal. It was a brilliant moment. The noise in the valley has been mentioned already, because to see it fall like that and to see how loud those supporters were in the covered end, in the east stand, in the west stand, and in half of the Jimmy Seed stand, and to hear them erupt when Billick powered that header in. But like I say, I'd say first 10 minutes we were on top, but as soon as that... as Rowe, ironically, got his goal, that sort of came out of nowhere. Then we panicked big time. And to finally come through the other side of that, to show that character, Big Pratters coming on and scoring that goal 20 seconds after the restart, following the Millwall boys' goal for Doncaster, that finally put them ahead in the tie. And then even to get to the penalty shootout and to have a penalty to win it with Naby Sarr, and there was a lot of headlines getting ready to be written there, considering, you know, his own personal battle here at this club, to, you know, from where he started to where he is now, and it could have been the ultimate redemption almost for him to miss it, but then for us to still go through. It's one of those things, like, it's so hard to... Why does Charlton do this? Why can't we just be like Man City and go and win cup finals 6-0? But you wouldn't change it for the world, would you know?
No, I mean, I was just thinking in those highlights, just I mean, rewind back to 2 o'clock when I met Tom in the Thameside Inn for a beer, and we said, and I said personally, to be fair, I said, if we get an early goal, you know, I'll be comfortable. Yeah. Game's over, dead, lovely. And then we get an early goal, and then you go from being... the jubilant, thinking, yeah, Wembley, and then 9 minutes later, then they get one back, and then you think you're going, Wembley, we're going to hold on the last 2 minutes, and they score, and you're like, oh no, and then they score again in extra time, and then you score, and then a penalty, and it was just like, literally, I don't think I could go through that anymore. Like, I just want like a 1-0 win at Wembley, if possible.
Yeah, you know, right, you know that is not going to happen. There's no way on God's earth that Piercy's going to score with his bum cheek and we're going to win 1-0. It's going to be It's going to be horrible. If we win, if we don't win, whatever happens, it's going to be absolutely horrible, and we all can't wait to be there. Yorkshire Addicts tweeted in saying that they did have their tissues at the ready for the highlights. I hope you've cleaned up after yourself now and enjoyed that for what it was. I mean, we need to talk about the performance, really. I know we don't want to, but it was nervy. It was rushed. We were pressed higher by Doncaster. We couldn't settle on the ball. We weren't our usual selves. And again, there's so many similarities with that 1998 playoff final. Obviously, this is a semi-final, but the final where we were a team that hadn't conceded in 8 games. You go 1-0 up, you're expecting that to be that. But that just doesn't happen. The playoffs are a magical beast because, I mean, and not just our game this week. I mean, our game was crazy, but we're probably not even the best game in the playoffs this week. I think Leeds Derby probably tips it. But, I mean, it's because you're going for broke. This is the end of the season. You know what's at stake. Everything, form, quality, everything goes out the window.
It's time to step up, isn't it, Nate? That's what they say.
But
the thing is, like, every other team that was playing at home in the second leg has gone out. And look how much we've had to go through just to get through. Like,
buck the trend.
Yeah, and it's been just watching all the others, knowing ours was going to be the very last one. It's been horrific because you see one team go out, then another go out, then another, and you're like, that's us. We're the home side. We've got this amazing record at home. We've scored all these goals at home. We've conceded almost nothing. We've gone this, we've done it, everything. We said it on Thursday show, logically everything tells us that should have been a routine result for us, and we have to even just for a couple of minutes give credit to Doncaster for the way they played, because you said it there, they pressed us, they harassed us, and sure, our players were nervous because of the big occasion, because the cameras were here, because the stadium was full, very different to any game they'll have played here all season. But at the same time, Doncaster stepped up to that and thrived off that. And you have to give them credit for the way they performed, because they stopped us playing. And they're probably the only team here that you would say had done that, because I know we lost to Coventry and Peterborough, but that was completely different. But at the same time, we had those players, the likes of Josh Cullen, who has been through the playoffs before, the likes of Prattley, who, you know, I've made my thoughts throughout the year clear. He was immense on Friday, absolutely immense when he came on. Those players like that, who had that little bit of either experience or quality or class just to calm everyone down when we needed. And even when we were 3-1 down, OK, it was only for however long it was, but that you could see even on the replays, a couple of the players just kind of like calming people down and being like, right, we go again. And it's therefore no surprise when only, as I say, like a minute later, we're back 3-2. So, yeah, it wasn't a brilliant performance. We were poor, really, overall, but we got the job done. And as you said then, everyone's going for broke, and the only thing that really matters is the result.
It was an incredible evening. TH1995 said yesterday they were looking forward to hearing the highlights and was predicting some high-pitched squealing noises. And I think we got that in abundance from Greg and Terry there. And you can hear Terry. It's clearly choked up at that final, you know, penalty miss. I've always liked to think that once you've been there and seen it all, as Terry obviously has since the club was first formed in 1905, after a while, you'd be able to take things in your stride. But I mean, it's just the same as the rest of us. It's incredible the way that, you know, and we will talk about how everything off the field is terrible, and we've talked about it all season. But when everything comes together on the field with a team you love, a manager you love, a coaching staff you love, and you see them achieve something, you know, even if they did make it slightly difficult for themselves, in a way, it makes you even more proud to see the fact that they, you know, yeah, they've got quality. We know that. Yeah, they've been consistent. We know that. But yeah, they can battle as well. And it does choke. I was choked up at full time. I don't think I've met anyone who hasn't said they didn't shed a little tear when we got to Wembley.
Yeah, no. And that's, I think, what you were saying in terms of, I think we've had a lot of that's happened to this club in the last few years. And I think it was just a sense of relief yesterday, as well as the game. Obviously, the game didn't help being it as well it was. But I just think it was a sense of relief that at last we've got something we can grasp to, or something that we can cling on to at the moment. And we're riding that wave, and long may it continue. But listen, I mean, like Tom said earlier, the atmosphere in that stadium, it reminded me of the old Premiership days, and I'm talking when we had Palace at home, when we sent them down, those sort of games. That's what it reminded me of, and it was surreal to see, because it's a shame, because that's what I'd want it to be like every Saturday or Tuesday. But you know, it's not, and it was great to see a lot of old faces that weren't there, and a lot of my friends returned, and it was great. And listen, I'm just hoping we can do it one more time on Sunday, just to finish off a great season.
I said it before the game as well, that everyone's aware of what this summer might bring and the issues that we might have, whatever league we're in next year. But these couple of games have just been about ignoring all of that. And I think I use the word suspending disbelief. Just forget all of that, because we've got a moment to really enjoy the club as we know it. And that's what, for me, Friday was all about. As you say, the Valley full, like the Premier League days, a team we love, a manager we love, an assistant manager we love. There's such a community around here now, and it was almost like, do you know what? Whoever the owner is, let's just forget about him for a minute. He doesn't matter, and let's just enjoy what we've got. And that's how it felt. And it was a special night.
It's one of those games where the day after you're making sure you're sticking on a Charlton shirt and walking around town, because I don't really wear football shirts at home, but I'm wearing a Charlton shirt now, and I wore one yesterday. To walk into town, because you want to see people proud of the Charlton shirt, but also because John Marquis's family, I don't know if they still do, but they definitely did live in West Wickham, where I live. So I thought, imagine if I bump into him, that'd be so funny in my Charlton shirt, but I didn't. CFC Jim B said it was an eventful game, but not enjoyable until they missed the penalty. That is, I hated every minute apart from the first one. Even when Pratt has scored, I didn't think we'd go on to win, to be fair, because I am very pessimistic. But I hated every minute of it. I spent the majority of the game with my head in my hands, because it was horrible. And like I say, I mean, that's what you got to do to get promoted. You got to go through horrible, tense games. But it was a difficult evening to watch. You know, Doncaster, and I think I said this on, I might have said it on Thursday's show, but when they have their tails up, they have this incredible, I'd call it like a swarming mentality. Like, they can really put you on the back foot, and we saw it pressing up, especially when they know they haven't got anything to lose. They're a goal behind. They can really put you under pressure. Both away games we've had with Doncaster this season, so the league game where they scored with 15 minutes left, and it was quite a difficult last 15 minutes, and obviously the playoff game where they scored with 3 minutes left, but you know, forced a mistake from Billick for a corner, put us on the back foot. I mean, they have this way. I mean, they're a great team, Doncaster, and I would take my hat off to them if I was wearing one, because I thought they really played a part. Tom's taking his hat off, saved me a job there. I thought they really played a part, and their fans will be proud as well, because of what they've seen, and obviously we know that Bowyer went into their dressing room to congratulate them. So I feel, you know, I'm not going to say I feel sorry for him, because I don't care really, because I'm glad that Charlton got to Wembley, but they certainly played their part. And I could see if they can get some, you know, if they could get Wilkes back on loan next season, I can see them being up there next year. So, but I'll say it again, it was horrible. It was horrible to watch. And I just wonder, and it's funny how we say this now, but obviously massive crowd, and it was great to see the Valley packed, and the atmosphere was sensational. But when you are under a little bit of a pressure, a little bit on the back foot, it's almost crazy how a big crowd, you know, when it's just one man and his dog groaning a pass that hasn't quite gone the right way, when there's 25,000 men and presumably more dogs groaning, it might even, do you reckon that puts a little bit more pressure on the players?
It might do, and I think I'll echo what you both said. I think they're very good. I think Tommy Rowe coming into the side, we couldn't really cope with those, with Tommy Rowe coming just off Marquise, and you've got Malik and Wilkes and Cobbington dropping into spaces, which he was doing on the previous Sunday. So, but the problem I found, it seemed like first 10 minutes we were fine, we scored. Then Tommy Rowe scored, and then I think the players started to panic. I think Lyle, I don't know, he might have been told, but he started drifting too much out wide and concentrating on Danny Andrew to stop him going forward. So then when we got the ball was going direct to Josh Parker, and it wasn't really sticking. So he was inviting pressure on ourselves. So even though I think that probably the crowd may have played a part to passing off that nervous energy, it was, you know, it was partly due to the players as well. But I think you're always going to get that at home, and but I did think we sat back a bit too deep and invited it on too much, considering how long we had left in the game.
Obviously, when you're going through a night like we did have on Friday night, you're going to have your heroes. So obviously Prattley scoring that vital goal, but you know, we know what Prattley's about. We've never said we don't know what he's about, but we've said at times, you know, tactically you wouldn't have him in the team, but he was perfect. He was perfect when he came on Friday evening. But someone who I think this show is a massive fan of and has been for a long time, and I'm so pleased that Dylan Phillips had a moment to win the game for Charlton, to save a penalty from John Marquise, of all people, West Wickham born. The only failure to come out of West Wickham, in my experience.
It was obviously not the end of the season yet, so I wouldn't say a perfect end to the season, but just a perfect moment for him, because it doesn't feel like anyone's worked harder than him to prove himself and to show that he's worthy of playing in this team. And obviously, at the start of the season, he had his chance and then lost his chance and then had his chance again, and he's kept it, and deservedly so. And when Maxwell came in, we were worried, because he came in with a fairly good reputation, particularly at this level, and he hasn't had a sniff. And that's because of Dills. He's been brilliant. And the clean sheets, yes, the defence play their part, but so does he. He has to marshal those players. He's made some crucial saves game after game after game, and he just looks, I mean, everyone's seen the video, I'm sure, of the dressing room after. He just looks like such a great character to have around that team as well. Mm. He thoroughly deserved it. And yeah, I was so pleased for him to get that save. And okay, he didn't save the last one, but he played a vital part in that shootout. And the celebrations at the end were just
brilliant.
We've
seen the close-up video of him saying, don't miss, miss to the Doncaster striker as well. It was strangely poetic that the player that was keeping him out at the start of the season in Jed Steer saved penalties in a different playoff semi-final to get Aston Villa to Wembley as well. So well done to Jed as well. I did say there that John Marquise was West Wickham born. He's not actually West Wickham born. He moved to West Wickham. He's Downham born. So there's two failures to come out of Downham, isn't there, Nate?
I don't know. No.
Nathan was born in Downham. Ollie tweeted in saying, speechless, excessive blood pressure, excessive heart rate. I felt the agony and the ecstasy that game summed up in one paragraph. Can't wait for Wembley to try and get the job done. Cliff Scale says, that game was unbelievable, was emotionally and physically drained afterwards. The playoffs never ceased to amaze me. When we got the early goal, I was like, yep, we're done here, but no. And what followed, you couldn't make it up. During the penalties, I was all over the place and lost of what was going on. When Naby missed and then Rowe missed, for some reason I thought we had to score again, but soon realised we'd won when everyone going mad around me. Just an unbelievable night. Next stop is Wembley. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who lost track of the penalties. I mean, I was writing it down, so I knew what was going on. But there's a lot of people there who it took them a couple of seconds to realise that we had won, which is quite funny to see. Right, I've got plenty more tweets coming up, but I think we need to hear from the man as masterminded our first trip to Wembley in 21 years. Lee Bowyer came to speak to Terry, who had regained himself, regained his composure, thankfully, by the time Bowes came in to speak to him. And Terry asked him, how would you sum that game up, Lee Bowyer?
I would describe it as eventful. From start to finish, I thought it was a good game, two good teams. I said before the game, on the telly, that you've got two good teams that want to play football and will give everything. And I don't think we disappointed. I thought Doncaster, like, I just went into their players and staff, just went into their dressing room and said, like, you should be proud of yourselves. You know, you put up a hell of a fight tonight. So it didn't go your way, but the football club should be proud of them, and they should be proud of themselves. And so should our lads. I said the same to our lads. The performance they've just put in there was unreal. They just don't lie down. They just keep going and going and going, and they're machines, you know. They have that winning spirit and that fight. And I said that the group we have is a unique group. Their togetherness and everything gets you through things like that. And with the place bouncing the way it was, the fans were unreal. Like, we went behind. And then in injury time, not injury time, in extra time. And then they're just still singing, boom, we score. Like, they don't, it's just frightening. But for me, what a special night.
I a very special, and forgive the throat, but a very special night indeed. Started superbly. Billet getting on the end of that, what looked like a worked free kick.
Yeah.
Perfect start. Within 3 minutes, we're 1-0 up in front of the covered end. You think, and as you said, bouncing, you're thinking, we're going to go on here.
Yeah.
But you've got to give credit to Doncaster. They came straight back at us.
Yeah, very good. They was good. I thought they caused us problems. They've got players. I said they've got players that can hurt you, you know. But we had to keep fighting and competing. I thought when Prattley come on with his experience, you know, like, I thought he'd done very good. But, yeah, a couple of things went against us, I thought, on the night, just before they scored. At the end of the game, Lowell went through with a keeper and he was onside.
They assumed, I guess, that Josh Park reflected onto him, I'm guessing.
I don't know. I don't know what it was, but he wasn't offside. And then they go up the other end and score. Like, big decisions, you know? Change games. So much at stake, and the players are giving so much, and then you get something like that wrong. It disappoints me on a big event like a big night like tonight.
But quite easy for the players to dwell on it. You know, when we, as you say, when we went down in extra time, you then look back at the handball shout as well, and you start looking at decisions that may have gone against us. And you're thinking these have come back to bite us, but
it was two handballs. Yeah. One, he come and dived in front of it and blocked it. From 5 yards away, he's saying he's too close. He wasn't. He was 5 yards away, and then the other one, he just. But that's what I mean. Big decisions, but we ain't been getting them all year, all season. We ain't
storing them up for next week.
Well, oh, we need something to go our way, like a big decision like that. But listen, it is what it is. But I'm just so proud of them, and they're proud of, like, the football club should be proud of them, because they've given everything, you know.
I bet in a time when they're looking at similarities between now and 21 years ago, playing Sunderland again, it was 4-4 again, it was all this. I bet you're glad it didn't go 7-6 penalties, isn't it?
Yeah, because a lot of our lads didn't really want to take one, so I'm glad it didn't go that far. So, yeah, and again, to have the bravery to step up and take one in front of the full house, and real men stepped up there tonight, and... I'm so proud of them. I told them I love them all. Like, they've given me everything every day in training and in every game. They give me everything, you know. They're a special bunch.
I've got to say, there was a momentary pause certainly in my position anyway, when I think it was Rowe, wasn't it, missed their penalty. I just, in my head, thought we were going to take another one. We had to take another one.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the crowd reacted and jumped over everybody, I mean, moments like this don't come around that often.
No, and we have to enjoy these moments, you know. It's been a lot of negativity said about this club over the last few years, and now there's a lot of positive, and we've turned that around, you know. That's hard work and bringing everybody together. That's players, fans, you know, and all the staff. And for me, that alone is an achievement. And now we've got Wembley to add to that. So it's not done. It's going to be tough, but we have a group of players and a group of fans that keep coming together like that. Let's see how far it takes us.
Well, you've got to go into the main press conference in a second. You're bound to get told you've still got one game to go. Are you going to concentrate on that? Don't listen to them. Just enjoy tonight.
I have to enjoy tonight, because, like I said, there's not many times you get to play at Wembley. I only got to play once in my whole career, so these lads are about to do it, and there's a lot of young lads in there.
Well, whatever happens next week, congratulations on tonight. Congratulations for bringing that fan base back together again. You and the team, it's just inspirational to watch.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Forward towards Vetticelli. It's actually Evans who's off the pitch momentarily for Portsmouth. Vetticelli on the left-hand side thinks about a cross. It's been held up by Burgess. Ball inside, finds on Rebo. Rebo early. Ooh. Cross comes towards Reece. Can he get on the end of it? Reece across to Taylor!
Yes! Come on!
Jordan make it two! Lyle Taylor getting the goal that he wanted. Great endeavour from Ben Reece just to stay with the ball and just toe poke it in the way of Lyle Taylor, who had an open goal and couldn't miss, and Charlton restore their lead.
We
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There we go, just some mascots there on the end of the Lee Bowyer interview. It must have been a very special night for them as well. Lee Bowyer's the straightest talking person you're ever going to... I love the one on Sky where the fella asks him, you know, how do you get promoted now? And he goes, win the game. But, you know, Terry asked him, how would he describe the evening? And he went, eventful. And he's not wrong there, is he? What a job. What a job he's done. And incredible to see the playoff crowd this year compared to last year, because there's something like a 13,000 difference. You know, effective, almost doubled the crowd from the last year playoff semi-final against Shrewsbury. And, you know, it's nothing to do with the ownership, because that situation is even worse, if anything. So it is purely the Bowyer effect. And it's almost hard to... I mean, you have people outside asking, trying to ask me, you know, what's different of the boycott stop. I said, not really, but people, it's hard to explain what the Bowyer effect is, but it puts bums on seats.
It's also hard to find enough words of praise to sum up the job he's done.
Because, you have to go to songs of praise.
Yeah, not just on the pitch, but you think back to that first day at Sunderland. We didn't even have a full bench. We had Prattley, who wasn't even fit for that game, having to play. You had George Lapsley having to play, and we'd only really previously seen him in that little cameo, one or two performances, and we were a bit nervous about him. Then we lose in the last minute, and you think, right, where is this season going? And from there, the signings that him and Jacko and Gallen have made, the atmosphere that he's managed to create, and the fans he's managed to galvanise, the performance, the style of football, the goals, everything, it comes down to him and his staff, as he'll be quick to mention as well, the backroom staff. And I said it earlier, it's almost as if we've just forgotten about the owner. He's still who he is, and he's still his problem. But and while he's just letting Bowyer get on with it, granted with about 50 quid in his pocket, Bowyer is working absolute miracles. We've said it time and time and time again. And who knows what's going to happen next week, but there is not enough praise I can give him for the work he's done, because by far and away, this has been my favourite season following the club. And obviously, we've had bigger successes. We've had Premier League years. We had the year under Powell. But I don't think I've enjoyed coming down here as much as I have this year. And that says a lot, given everything that's going on behind the scenes. And for me, the majority of that is down to Bowyer and his staff.
Let's get that contract sorted sooner rather than later, Nath, because sure, I mean, I know Bowyer seems fairly comfortable it'll get sorted, but if he takes a Charlton team on a shoestring budget into the Championship, I mean, other teams are going to take notice. There's teams out there who need managers.
Yeah, exactly. And the disappointing thing about the contract is that he's built such a good nucleus of players now. And, you know, if we do go up, and we do manage to keep some of the players like the Cullens and Billicks, and then with a sprinkling of other players, I think we'll be quite competitive. And the same, you'd think if you know if we didn't manage to go up, we've got a good nucleus players. We won't be able to keep the likes of, I don't think, Billick, Cullen and Taylor. But you've got a good nucleus of players now, and a brand and an identity of football that we've not had for a while. So I just think it feels like it's a bit of a waste. If he doesn't get this contract that he so thoroughly deserves. And I can't really add anything to what Tom was saying in terms of all the sort of compliments that we can give him, because him and the team have done tremendous, and it's just a shame that it could end. Yeah, well, hopefully it doesn't, but if it does, it's just such a waste of when you look of how far we've come from August.
there's no one more deserving, is there, to be leading the team out of Wembley, though? And that's, you know, he mentions in his interview he only got to play there once himself. So to lead out a team as a manager at Wembley is the highest praise you can get in the club game. And you know, I feel like as a fan base, we deserve a day like that. But as a manager, you know, a manager in his first full season who's performed miracles like that, he deserves to have that accolade of leading the team out of the National Stadium.
Yeah, and it makes a statement, doesn't it? Because there are plenty of managers who are far longer in the tooth than he is who've never got there. And it shows, again, the work he's done on a shoestring budget. And I'm sure there'll be no one prouder than him when he walks out of that tunnel next weekend. But again, it's just so deserved for everything that he's done. And you go back to the contract there. I mean, it's mad that we've got a manager who has taken us with no money to Wembley and he's still having to negotiate over a contract. But again, I go back to the fact that for this next week and for the last week, I'm forgetting all about all of that. And I'm just going to enjoy this ride. And whatever happens next week, we can deal with that over the summer, because it's going to be a long, boring summer without any football. So, yeah. That
Women's World Cup.
Of course. What will be, as the song says. But yeah, for me, it'd just be great to see him lead those players out next week.
Dan Farmer said he felt excited when we scored, but then the nerves kicked in when they did. Extra time was worried, and then when they scored to go in front, I was thinking, we haven't got a goal in us. But then Prattley pops up with a goal, and it's game on. He said he could hardly watch the penalties. Bob Liscombe just tweeted in, actually. It's a fair question. What happened with the argument over the penalties? So as we normally, so I watched the game, the Aston Villa West Brom game. And when it was time for the penalty shootout to be done, they had two tosses of the coin to find out, A, which end would be taken out, and B, who would go first. Now, it was clearly in our game, you saw two police match commanders walking onto the field of play, then telling the ref that the penalties will be taken down at the covered end. And Sky said there were some sort of safety concerns. Now, I wasn't really looking at the line between the Doncaster fans and the Charlton fans, but apparently there was some argy-bargy or arguing or something over that line for long spells of the game. So, but I am still slightly confused how taking the penalties down the different end makes any difference to that, personally. But I ain't going to complain. I mean, Dylan said in a press conference after, look, we had home advantage, so why shouldn't we get to take it at our home end? Although there were a few Doncaster fans slightly upset they didn't get. Do you think that makes much of a difference what end they get taken at? I mean, Tom did say there was a raucous atmosphere behind the goal in the covered end.
Yeah, I think it does. But I agree with Dills. I think if you're at home and, you know, you finish 15 points ahead of someone and you get the second legs at your home ground, then I think that's the whole point. It's like, you can't just say, oh, you can't start introducing away goals depending on the first leg result or anything. It's just, it is the way it is. And if the police have said that, you know, it's a safety concern, I agree with everything the police say. So I agree on that situation.
That was part of your bail terms, wasn't it? Yeah. David Letchford said he was happy at 1-0, angry at 1-0, happy at 1-0, okay at 1-0, then angry at 2-1, very upset at 3-1, happy at 3-2, and very emotional after the pen. So thank you for very literally telling us how you were feeling. Yeah, I don't think I was that happy at 3-2, to be honest, because I still thought we'd go lose, because I sound very pessimistic. Bill Greenall says he's used to Charlton putting us through the ringer, so it was expected, but it was still brilliant. James Franklin said, big shout out to the guy who was late boarding my flight from Charlotte, North Carolina on Friday. Meant I could finish watching the penalty shootout before we taxied. Feeling good about the final. I just hope that Duchatelet stays away from Wembley. Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Imagine
if he comes out
of the director's box.
Mate, yeah. Imagine if we actually win it and he goes like he wants to collect the trophy. He's like, move out of the way, Boya. I'm going up here.
Trying to sit in the EFL seats or something as well. London Geezer said, after giving them the runaround in the first leg, Doncaster nullified Taylor as an attacking threat. They bullied him, upset him, and do that, and he whinges, complains, and then he's off his game. His best work was defensively. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Taylor had his best game, certainly. He didn't see much of the ball up top, but he was tracking back and winning tackles quite a lot, which helps in that sort of game. He was funny after the game, actually, because I was in the tunnel getting interviews and stuff, and he came out of the dressing room and he just sort of shouted across to me. He sort of said hello, and I just shook my head at him, and he went, yeah, no, sorry, to something like that. It was, yeah, crazy game. Jack says, after we scored, we fell asleep, but it was a great game and we deserve to win. What this club has had to put up with the owner. Bring on Sunderland. Right, I think we should have another interview now because we've got wall-to-wall interviews on the show this evening. Josh Cullen, of course, on loan from Bradford City. He's been there and he's done that before with Bradford. He's got to the playoff final, but what he hasn't done is won it. They lost to Millwall that day a couple of years ago. But anyway, he came into the tunnel, spoke to myself and to the Moose from TalkSport. He was a
good friend, Moose.
Milling around, yeah. He was moosing around in the tunnel. And we asked Josh Cullen what he made of the game on Friday evening.
Yeah, I suppose that's a way to sum it up. Unbelievable. Didn't do it the easy way, done it the hard way, but we're there. And that's all that matters. If you would have said to us at the start of the night that we'd win on penalties and go through, we would have said, yeah, we'll take that. So wasn't our best performance, wasn't pretty at times, but we're there and you've got to be in it to win it, so we'll be there next week.
Especially when after 2 minutes you float that free kick in and it's headed in the back of the net, it looked done and dusted.
Yeah, we never thought it was done and dusted because we know they're a good team. We were 2-0 up at their place the other week, and they come on strong and we know they're a good side, so a 2-goal lead was never enough, and they showed their quality with the goals they scored, I think. So no, they're a good side. Credit to them for playing their part in what I'm sure was a great tie for the neutral. So but we're delighted to get through and like I said, delighted to get ourselves to Wembley next week.
You held your nerve in the penalty shootout as well. Not quite the same sort of penalty as Lyle Taylor's though.
No, yeah, Lyle has his unique style. He strolls up to it. But yeah, listen, all that matters is it's the back of the net and apart from Naby, even though Naby missed, he showed the character and the bottle to get to step up and take one. So everyone was fantastic. So proud of the lads. We kept going. I can't really sum it up at the minute, but yeah, I'm really proud.
Now, 2 years ago, you were in this final when you were with Bradford on loan. Yeah. You obviously want a different outcome this time because you've been by Millwall. But in terms of the importance of the game, you've got the experience, you've been there and you've done it. I think Lyle maybe the only other one who's been in a playoff final recently.
Like you said, I've been there and done it before, and I know it's a great occasion and a great arena to play in, but I want to make sure we get the win this time. So the lads will be ready. We'll prepare right and get ourselves mentally and physically ready, and we'll be ready to go next week.
And be a good tussle you up against the likes of Lee Catamol and Grant Ledbetter.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, they're good players, have had great careers, and it's going to be a tough test. We know they're a good side all over the pitch, so yeah, it's going to be a test. They've done fantastic as well to get to the final, so we know it's going to be a tough game. But when it comes, we'll be more than ready.
Good luck at Wembley.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
As Moose mentioned, obviously you've played at Wembley before, and you know, we saw a big crowd tonight. You can now hold the Charlton players in good stead for going to an even bigger stadium next week.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, playing in front of a big crowd, obviously, it's different. Just to mention, our fans were fantastic tonight, even when it might have looked like we were on the wrong end of the tie and the momentum was swinging and changing the other way. They kept us going and stuck by us, and that result for them tonight is for them, and we'll get to Wembley next week. I'm sure they'll pack it out again, it's yes and no. Like you said, it obviously does prepare you in some ways, but it won't prepare you because Wembley's a totally different arena. But all the lads are buzzing and we're looking forward to playing there, and every player that's one of the best stadiums in the world, and that's where you're going to be playing.
Obviously, over the season, there's two very close games between the two sides. Unlucky to lose on the opening day, and probably unlucky not to win back here at the Valley. So, you expect another game, another similar game to that?
Yeah, I'd expect it to be tough. Like I said, they're a good side with good players, and it's going to be a tough test. Like you said, I watched the first game of the season when I had an idea that I might be coming here. So, I was watching that at home, and I think the lads were brilliant first half, and then obviously Sunderland are a good side. So, they've got the quality to be able to beat you. I was here up in the stands, unfortunately, for the game back here. And yeah, I think second half we were the team that looked like going on to win it. So I'd expect it to be a tough, tight game, but we'll be more than ready to perform.
Just finally, Lee said that the team hadn't practiced penalties during the week. Was that a bit of mind games, or had you done a little bit in the build up to it?
We'd done a few. Listen, I think everyone has it in the back of their mind. It wasn't in our mind to think, oh, we're going to go to penalties. We wanted to win the game and get the job done within the 90 minutes, if we're being honest. But listen, like I said, even when you take them to the training ground and you prepare that way, it never prepares you for the pressure on the night. So, full credit to the lads that stepped up and just got us through. So, yeah, we're very happy. She loves looking at us all, and she don't need no one else. She just wanna get that shot, if a man or if a man. She doesn't care, she's in love with a cat. And Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. Strike!
Oh, my word! Taylor Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. That was Josh Cullen, West Ham loanee here at the Valley. Been there and done that. So he played there with Bradford against Millwall. They got beat. Lyle Taylor scored in a 2-0 win for Wimbledon in a playoff final against Plymouth. Chris Maxwell, the goalkeeper, was in goal for Fleetwood when they got promoted against Burton Albion, I think it was. Pratters played for Swansea at Wembley. I think it was against Reading. So, as players who have played at Wembley, we spoke to them at the Player of the Year dinner, we were sort of saying if we get to Wembley, obviously now we are at Wembley, that experience could be quite important, really. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Sunderland players, obviously being the big club they are, that have experience of big games as well. But it's helpful that you've got players who know what the day is going to be about, really.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously, I think the person that springs to mind is Prattley. I think what he done yesterday, I think Tom already touched on it, how good he was. And when Morgan come off at half time, it just shows that we needed someone to settle the sort of ship, so to speak. And we're most fluid when he's there, but he's such a key player in sort of settling them down. And I'm sure he'll do that on Sunday, along with the players that you mentioned. But it's just to say, you know, it's just a game of football. If you try to overthink it sometimes, overplay it, what can happen is players tend to not make the pass they'll usually make, because they'll make the safer option because they want to make a mistake, and then you put yourselves under pressure even more. So it's just, you're looking for the senior pros to just sort of say to the younger ones, like, relax, do what you've been doing for 46 plus games. That's all you've got to do, and then we should win the game.
Of course, someone else who has experience of being at Wembley before, and of course is going to be there again this year, Nathan, is your big stupid face, because you were part of the advertising campaign for Sky last year in the playoffs, and you know, because we were there, they got a fan from each of the sides, and they plastered your face up and down Wembley Way. Now, hopefully, we're expecting, I mean, you've done the photo shoot again this year, so shall we put the challenge out there to anyone going to Wembley next Sunday, if you can get a selfie with Nathan's face and tweet it to us? I mean, that'll be
I don't know, because last year it was on...
they'd have to stand back to get it all in.
Yeah, you have to stand back to get the nose in. But I don't know if they're good, because I know you've got ones on the wall, you've got one on the sort of lamppost all out Wembley Way.
We'll find it.
Don't worry.
Just look out for a big honking nose.
There's an outside chance it may even be in the tunnel as well. So imagine they've got the pre-game shot of all the players, you know, psyching themselves up, and then Nathan's stupid grinning face in the background. So something to look forward to next week. Right, Liz Edwin says she's so excited about a trip to Wembley. We've all gone through so much in the last few years. We deserve this, even if we don't win, which of course we will. It has shown Roland that we don't need him, we don't want him. Come on, someone decent, but this is a great club. Yeah, I was thinking about this today. Getting to Wembley just specifically is so big for me, because we're one of the last, 10, 11 teams that hadn't been there at the current 92. I'm sure this will change as the week progresses, but I'm so pleased just to be going there that almost the result won't matter as much, because I'm just delighted that as a club and as a fan base, we're getting our... You know, our our day out, which, like I say, I feel like we've deserved. But like I say, ask me again on Thursday when we're going to do the big match preview. I'll be desperate to win because I really want to get back in the Championship. It's a great league, you know, and if anything else, there's a buffer between us and League Two because we don't, like we said, we don't know what's going to happen next year in terms of the squad, in terms of the manager, in terms of anything with Roland here. So who knows? Mark says, was it dramatic? It was just another day at the office for the lads. It all went to plan. Wembley, here we come. And he says, being serious for a second, my heart was racing after it went to extra time. And then when they got their third, oh my God, I'm glad we responded instantly to that. I felt sick during the penalty shootout and then was absolutely elated after that last penalty. An incredible day. Right, Adele, the singer's got in, involved again. She was here on Thursday. Belting a few tunes out, and she says she didn't stop singing all night. Well, that's your job, Adele. But what an atmosphere it was. Roll on, Wembley. Yeah, certainly looking forward to it. David Nichols says, what a roller coaster of emotions. I'm still buzzing now, and this has got to be the most eagerly awaited show of the season yet. Well, yeah, I've certainly been looking forward to doing this all day. The belief and togetherness in the squad is matched by the fans. What an what an advert for potential new owners. Not sure how my nerves are going. Going to go next week. It's interesting, actually, a lot of people saying, you know, what an advert. I mean, yeah, it is a great advert because you can see that, you know, I think the club tweeted it out themselves because don't forget the club and Roland are two separate things. It's just annoying that he owns us. You know, there is still one hell of a pulse around here at the Valley and in the club, and there's so much potential. And yeah, that is an advert, but, you know, if Roland don't drop his price, then, you know, even if there's a really great advert for a sofa on the DFS sale, if you get there and it's £4 million for a sofa, you ain't going to buy it no matter how good the advert is. And DFS adverts are, you know, give or take, to be fair, they're not great. Simon O'Hara said he was almost too nervous to listen in later in case Friday never really happened. Yeah, certainly. And then David again, my heart rate went up and up with each step that Lyle Taylor took on the penalty. I mean, ideally he would not do that, in my opinion, because but at the same time, again, it's one of those things you wouldn't change because swag, there's so much swagger in that run-up, isn't there?
Ice in his veins. And also, I think he's taken his penalties like that all season. If he suddenly changes it just for a shootout, I'd be more worried, but he knows what he's doing. And I saw him reply to someone who said he was a bit cocky and said, no, it's not cocky, it's just how I take them, because he's obviously sizing the goalkeeper up, and it worked because he completely psyched the keeper out and the keeper didn't dive and tried to double bluff him, and he just slotted it in the corner.
He scored every one that he's done like that. So don't forget, at the start of the season when he was taking penalties, I think he missed a couple, didn't he? And he wasn't doing that stupid run up. But yeah, again, you call it stupid run up because, you know, when you're desperate for a penalty shootout to be over, you don't need a run up that takes 25 minutes.
Solly's little two stepper will do.
Yeah, that's what we like. I mean, and they're short steps as well, of course, the size of Solly. Right, Coops on the Charlton Live Forum. We've still got plenty of emails and tweets to come. Don't forget, we've still got our excellent exclusive interview with Johnny Jackson, again, Mr. Charlton, and so pleased to see him get a chance to go to Wembley. But Coop says, evening, gents, I'm just getting over Friday. Fair play to Donny. I thought they played very well and were up for it. We looked nervous after the equaliser. What a fantastic atmosphere, though. It just shows what attendances we could attract at the Valley when Roland sells up. A bit of a nightmare trying to get my tickets over the phone. Long time in the queuing system after trying without success on Saturday. Finally got them today, though, for Wembley. Dare I make an early score prediction? Why not 2-1 Charlton in 90 minutes? What odds, though, with the bookies for another 4-4 and penalty 7-6? That's definitely more likely, by the way, than a 2-1. And that's Gary Cooper from Woolwich. Cheers for getting involved, Coops. And then Ouija Addict, Heather, we had on the show after the Accrington game, said, never known an atmosphere like that in over 40 years of watching Charlton. Just superb. The Donny players were all on top form, as the occasion got to us, but the team never gave up, even when they looked exhausted. Once the aggregate score finished 4-4, I was thinking, here we go, 7-6 on penalties. Thank God it didn't get that far. Roll on, Wembley. We'll hopefully have my voice back by then. Yeah, like I say, that 4-4. Why does this keep happening? Like, why can't we just, like, it's crazy how these things turn up. Right, DJ R says, from feeling confident after we scored to feeling negative as the game wore on, this team never gives up. Emotional and ecstatic at the end, as Charlton have had nothing positive since Roland has been here, so our club deserves it. Thanks to Lee Bayer, Johnny Jackson and the players for giving me some feeling back, and what a great advert for our great football club. Any interested potential owners must have seen the atmosphere on Friday at a packed Valley and the potential that a club ran properly without Roland would have. Do you think people out there will look at that, Nath, and go, oh, I might try and buy that club?
Possibly, but until they see the price, they probably go, nah, you're right, mate. I don't know. I mean, there must be a reason why there's no one buying it. And in my opinion, it can only be something due to price. I don't know. You'd hope so. I mean, I know it's easy for us to say because we have bias and stuff. But I mean, it's a London club. It's South River. It's great connections. Blah de blah. All the rest of it. And there's a lot of potential here. And then you'd hope it would be attracted to some. But I think that it will be attracted to some. But I think a lot of people will be put off by the price.
Ian Tim said it was good to see Wembley put on a warm-up act for us last night. Man City winning 6-0 in the FA Cup final. Right, John Cooper. We're going to hear from Johnny Jackson in a minute. And John Cooper says that Jacko deserves everything he's given. He's given everything for this club through thick and thin. You finally get your day out of Wembley with Charlton, and we couldn't be prouder of what you, Bo, and the players have given us this season. Brad Kemsley says hello from Dubai. Scoring that early didn't help us. We played not to lose rather than play to win. I'm sure that wouldn't have been Bo's plan, but the occasion seemed to get the better of us and stopped us playing our normal game. But now he says need to be better at Wembley, and these flights are booked. Excellent stuff, Brad. There's people coming from all over the gaff, isn't there? All over the world to come and watch the Addicts at Wembley. There's a great video. I don't know the name of the person, but of someone watching the game on TV out in like America, Ohio, I think possibly. I looked at his location, and because I was confused at first because he was watching the penalties on TV and you could see out the window it was light, but then I looked at where he's from. It's like over in America. And when the penalty is missed and goes wide, he starts running out the hall celebrating, and the dog joins in.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah, Liam says he's been dreaming of this since I was a kid, and now I can't believe I'll get to see my team play at Wembley. It's going to be a day I'll remember forever, whatever the result. Mike Roberts says I'll be listening in the morning to the podcast. I feel like a child on Christmas Eve. You can't wait. Excellent stuff, Mike. I hope you enjoy the show. Right, what have we got? Chrissy T, what a night. The sad thing was I thought I would never see the Valley like that again, the way it should be with all of us together. The Charlton family coming back together, if they can harness what Boya has created, the potential is massive. Brian Cole, so pleased for everyone who loves Charlton that we are at Wembley. Big thanks for all the Charlton Live team for being so bloody biased and giving so much for our great club. P.S. Wife not speaking to me. Happy days. Yeah, his wife's a Portsmouth fan. It'd probably be worse if they had to face off at Wembley.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, Brian's obviously clearly happy with that. I imagine she's quite happy not to have to speak to Brian too much as well. I love Brian. He's he done a good job on Friday as well, trying to keep everything together.
Is he doing the final then?
I hope so.
Because that's what they usually.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully, Big Bad Brian will be at Wembley. Actually, that'll be cool. Right, Pete Finch said I had a serious lump in my throat as I saw a packed Valley at full. Oh, normally that's a pie for Pete, but he said at full time, I bear hugged Clive Richardson at the end, for which I must apologise, and to some fella to my left, no idea who he was. But it felt right. No tears. That happened when I watched the highlights. Yeah, like I say, I was teary a little bit at full. Like, I was still on air, so I had to try and be calm. When I went up and hugged Greg and Terry, I had a little bit. And then, yeah, when I watched the highlights back. Also, if you watch Millie Edmondson's brilliant fan vlog she does, you have to watch that. And when she started... She had tears in her eyes when we went 3-2 down on the, or 3-1 down on the night when Marquise scored. And that sort of brought it back again. Because, I mean, you have to search that. It's a brilliant video. I'll show you really what it was like to be in the, in the covered end during that game. Ollie said this was the first home game I missed. Heartbreaking stuff. I know, Ollie. Well, I hope you're going to Wembley at least. Ian Timms, I was battered, bruised, and emotionally drained. I hated watching. I think we've read that one out already as well. Yorkshire Addicts says a mix of emotions from Friday night, and you're making us go through it again. We love it. Yeah, well, that's what the show's all about. Christopher Sloman, it was awful every single minute, but it was bloody brilliant at the same time. Dean Chapman, it was an emotional night. My son was in bits when they scored their third. When Prattley scored, all the fans around us hugged him. Hello to Roy listening to the show in Spain. I hope you're doing well, Roy. Bring on Wembley. Richard Justin says, is Lyle the new Clive Mendonca? Both could have joined the Mackhams the previous summer. Another similarity, of course, Clive Mendonca, Sunderland fan as well. I mean, if it is set up for anyone to score a hat-trick at Wembley, it's either going to be Lyle or Josh Parker, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm also looking out for their left-back.
It's not Michael Gray, is it?
But Brian Aviedo, so I'll be putting money onto him to miss a penalty. I ain't going to jinx it, though.
George Burkitt, we just have absolute scenes on Friday. But I just feel like perhaps if we'd started with a bit of a more experienced lineup, maybe with Pierce in the side, we might have done it in 90. Defence looked very nervous on Friday. Hope they fix it up for Sunday. Coming, you Addicts. Will Naby Sarr and Patrick Bauer be the defensive partnership at Wembley, Tom? Or will Jason Pearce, with his experience, be asked to come in and fill the void?
I think Pearce will come back. It's a tough call, and I'm glad I'm not the one that has to make it, but I can see Bo doing it because you haven't got time to put emotion into that, really. You've got to think practically, and you've got to do what's best for the team. And I think Pearce would be able to handle it maybe a little bit better. It'll be very harsh on whichever one misses out, but of course it's a 90-minute minimum game, so there might be the opportunity for the other who misses out from the start to come in. But I do think he might give Piercy a run out.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it. Don't forget, we'll be here on Thursday evening with a big match playoff final preview. That of course will be out on podcast as well. By the way, there's so many people listening to the podcast at the moment, and I'd like to say, oh, it's because we're great, but it's not. It's obviously because there's so much interest in the club at the moment. The podcast hasn't got any better. It's the same as it has always been. But there's so much interest in the club at the moment. The people that are sitting down and enjoying that. So thank you for everyone who's listening. And so many messages are coming today as well. So it's great to share in this moment with you guys as well. Anthony Waghorn is saying it's going to be his third time at Wembley. Come on, you addicts. Yeah, so that would have been last playoff final and the full Members' Cup against Blackburn, I guess. Unless he's just gone like me, went and see the Spice Girls there. Chris Watson
just said that on here.
Yeah, Chris Watson. One thing I didn't think helped us on Friday: Dylan taking absolutely ages to take goal kicks as soon as they equalised. We lost all confidence trying to slow the game for 75 minutes when we should have taken back the initiative and played our own game on the front foot. Simon O'Hara wants to have Terry's commentary on Rose penalty misses a ringtone. I'm sure that can be arranged. I'm sure we can work out how to do that. Sebo. Crazy to think that my current run of consecutive games started before the last 1998 playoff final. That's incredible. Yeah, okay, that was only game 16, but I have secured my ticket for next weekend, which will be consecutive competitive game 1037. Well done, Seb. Yeah, no one deserves a Wembley visit more than you. Sarah Saunders, I had to leave at 94 minutes as I couldn't bear it. I was sick and faint with nerves. I had to put Louis on alert to keep up on the train, but before left the station, both teams have scored. Got home though for penalties. Wish I'd stayed in the end. Yeah, there was. I do imagine there was quite a few people who attempted to leave. But
Lewis had
to. Oh yeah, Lewis. Yeah, Lewis.
Bath for a wedding.
Yeah, a wedding. Dreadful. I would have just missed a wedding. Sort of.
Yeah, same.
Seriously, I don't care about any of my friends enough to go to their wedding over the playoffs.
I agree.
Yeah, and I like my friends. That's why they're my friends. MICAFC says that question: do the squad get a chance to train at Wembley this week? From a 40-year supporter, credit to the support and the atmosphere created from Fred and the guys all season. Yeah, I don't know if they get a chance to
train, but they'll get a chance to walk around when at some point, like the day before.
Pratt was saying, wouldn't he? They go there on the Saturday,
but then the Saturday's got League Two, hasn't it?
That's so finally, Nathaniel says, I've got ESPN Plus in America, so can watch for free online. The amount of stuff I've broken this week is ridiculous. Nerves, excitement, joy, you name it. So excited for next Sunday. Do us proud, lads. Right, we're going to hear from Johnny Jackson next. We've still got a few of your messages to read as well, so don't worry if you haven't heard your one just yet. But Johnny Jackson, of course, Mr. Charlton himself, the assistant manager to Lee Bowyer. I caught up with him for an exclusive interview in the tunnel after the game on Friday. And again, I asked him how he was feeling after that roller coaster ride.
Exhausted, emotional, just can't describe it really. I was crying like a baby on the pitch. I hope no one's got any pictures or videos of that, because it'd be a bit embarrassing, but I just was overcome. Just, I think it was the highs and lows of the game. You know, nothing's ever simple, is it? Been watching all these games recently and thinking, God, I hope we don't have to go through that. And when we got the early goal, I'm thinking, oh, okay, nice, easy night. But I've got to give huge credit to Doncaster. They're a very, very good team. And they pushed us to the brink, you know. And penalties can go either way. So, you know, in that respect, it's a draw. And Grant McCann deserves a lot of credit because he's built a great side there. And over the two legs, we were very evenly matched.
Let's say the form goes out the window when you come into the playoffs. You look at Charlton's home record, the defensive record over the closing stages of the season. And as you say, when you go 1-0 up, it's very similar to people will say to the playoff final in 98. People have thought that the job was done, but I guess you can never take your eye off the ball when it comes to the playoffs.
You can't. And we were just discussing it in there. I mean, already sort of dissecting it and think that we've been defending great and playing brilliantly here, but what you can't do in training is replicate that atmosphere, the pressure, the situation. You just can't replicate it until it's there and it's happening. And you know, you can't help but be affected by it. We're affected by it on the sidelines, so of course the lads on the pitch are going to be affected by it. And to be honest, we didn't play great. We didn't pass it like we normally do. We didn't defend as well as we normally do. But who cares? Who cares? For tonight, we'll let them off of that one. We will have a look at it. We'll dissect it, because you won't. Well, no, we didn't win the football game, but you won't always have success doing that. But you know, with the situation, it's understandable.
I remember you saying towards the end of your career that you would have loved to have had a chance to play at Wembley, but to coach there, is that the next best thing, I guess?
Next best thing, yeah. Last season when we got knocked out, I was still a player, but you know, really, I was coaching mainly. I was obviously already assistant to Lee, and it was like probably the lowest moment in my career, because I really felt that we'd get to Wembley. So at one stage, I thought it was slipping away again. So to go there would be, yeah, I'd love to have played there as a player. It didn't happen, but I'm not like feeling. Like at the moment, I'm just sort of so happy and proud of everyone, and I can't wait to get the opportunity to go to Wembley as part of a brilliant squad of lads, and hopefully we can finish it off.
And we certainly saw some character on the pitch, but what about in the stands as well? Even when we went behind, they never shut up tonight.
Unbelievable. I knew it would be like that. I knew it. You know, as soon as you're seeing the numbers that we was doing on tickets, I knew. Like, some of these lads have never seen it like that. I have. And maybe, I don't know if I've ever actually seen it like that. It was incredible. Like, when that first goal went in, it was just mayhem. And then there you are, you know, the highs and lows of the game, and they're sticking with us. And obviously, pitch invasion at the end. I've never seen that. Not on that scale, anyway, and not for the right reasons. But just like overcome, really. Just so happy and proud of everyone associated with the football club tonight.
Well, have you enjoyed your week, and a big week as well. But look forward to seeing you at Wembley.
Cheers, man.
There we go. There's Jacko in the tunnel after the game. I could tell he was drained and tired, and we all were really. And, you know, walking up to the pub after the game, it was a bloody big hill, that hill as well, wasn't it, up to the Swan? But walked in, and I just couldn't speak to anyone. Like, I'll tell you, like, I sat down, I just couldn't speak to anyone. Like, in fact, Alex Clark has just tweeted in. She was coming out of the pub as I was going in. I sort of recognised her, so I tried to wave or something. She said something. I just went, yeah. And just walked in. I couldn't speak. But Alex tweets in saying, I didn't enjoy anything of Friday other than the first few minutes of our opening goal, hoping it means a less dramatic final, celebrating my 30th birthday and next weekend too. So what a present promotion would be. Or what a dreadful birthday it could be as well. So hope that goes well for you, Alex. Anthony Wagon said, it would never be the Spice Girls. I'm not sad like you, mate. So his trip to Wembley doesn't include the Spice Girls. Yeah, I'm not sad. I'm happy at the moment.
Block.
Yeah, he's banned. He's never getting the tweet read out on the show again. Matthias, well, here we go. Rob Waghorn, who is obviously related to Anthony, says, went to see Wham at Wembley. That's not any better, is it? Come on. So he's been at least three times, plus England games too. Matthias says, an emotional evening on Friday. First time I've seen Charlton. I'm going to Wembley on Sunday. I'm making a weekend of it. Should be a great game. Hopefully see you there, Matthias. That's going to be brilliant. John Clary, what a fantastic night to celebrate with family and friends. We never do it the easy way. Best atmosphere I've witnessed at the Valley when it's going. Yeah, it was just an amazing atmosphere, and well done to everyone who played a part in that. Well, it's Bert Palmer asking if we confirm if we're wearing red, which we can. The club confirmed it themselves. Sunderland will be wearing black. Unfortunately, they haven't got a mustard coloured kit anymore, but you know, as long as they bring Michael Gray out of retirement, I don't care what kit they wear, really. Lawrence says, hi guys, there we go. He spelled it right. That was my problem. That was well, Charlton don't do it the easy way. First off, fair play to Donny. They played off the park, and penalties are cruel. Friday we were nervous, all the fans clearly got to the players. I'm worried for Wembley. Yeah, I did we'll see how we handle it. That'll be quite interesting. That's why the experience question will come into it. The younger players certainly didn't have a good day. I hope the older, cooler heads like Prattley and Williams can calm them. Williams, we didn't really mention. He was brilliant when he came on.
Really good.
Can calm them and guide them to a calmer game. When Roe missed the penalty, I didn't realise right away that we were through. It took the screams of the fans to bring me to reality. Then the explosion of emotion. I didn't run onto the pitch. I wish I had. Onto Wembley. I don't think my heart can take another 4-4 or penalty shootout. On a last note, if any potential buyers are looking for a club, as you can see, Charlton is a sleeping giant and the fans will return once our owner is gone. Come and get us. But again, it's up to the owner to. It's a sleeping giant. It's a giant price, unfortunately, and that's the weird situation we're in. F. James, good evening, chats. We're nearly there. Football's a slender margins. I was watching back the game, and how close was Deals to pushing away Butler's goal? We also had two obvious pens, and non-existent marking of that Millwall fella, and the gleeful delight of him missing his penalty. Yeah, that was good. Yes, I ain't shown his face around West Wickham since. And add all these together, and we go marching on to Wembley with the knowledge that we played woefully below par and we are still one game away from going up. We have similarities with 98 and that is why I'm confident we will go up. However, slender fine margins are painful. Keep the faith, everyone. Cheers for that, Ev. Daniel Trafin says, are you able to start a poll to ask where all our fans are flying in from? I know three from Australia. Well, feel free to tweet us. If you're coming in from abroad, we'd be really interested to see. Maybe we can read those out on Thursday. Also, I've got to try and do this subtly. If we go up, and I want you to tweet me this, tweet at Louis Mend. If we go up, do you think we should have a coach parade in Greenwich the day after? Subtly, I'm being asked to try and gauge opinion on this. But I think we should. Tom thinks we should. Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to know what people think. If we go up, should we have a coach party, an open top bus parade? I think we need one as a club. I think we need that sort of thing. Obviously, I'm not saying we're definitely going up, but I'm, like I say, I'm subtly gauging opinion for someone else. So let me know if you think we should have a coach party. Phil says, hi guys, what a game, what an evening. Congratulations to Bayer and the team and the staff, but most of all, congratulations to the fans. The support at times has had me in tears. It has to be the best in 43 years watching Charlton. I feel that even though we have a madman bankroll in our club, it's still ours and he's hijacking of the club website and his petty rants. He'll soon be gone and we can take our club to new heights. What a ridiculous rant he put on the website the last couple of weeks as well, but I'm not going to say. Stuart Beadle says, I'm the team coach driver, and I say yes. There we go. Right, it's decided. there we go. I'm trying to get myself on. If there is a coach, I'm definitely trying to get myself on that. Heather McKinley says yes as well. So that's two people who think we should have a coach party. Like I say, I think we need it. And I think I've been really subtle there in making it clear that someone's asked me to try and gauge opinion. So well done. Well done to me there. what else have we got? Wheeler says, just look back for the first time I ever tweeted you guys was in 2014. I had some really horrible times and sent in a lot of negative tweets over the years, but to be going to Wembley is the stuff of dreams. I never thought this would happen. K, sirrah, sirrah. Yeah, I mean, over the course of the last, well, I can't remember how long I've been doing this show, probably since about 2012, not hosting, but being on it, we've been through some absolute rubbish. So to be doing a show ahead of Wembley, I'm very, very pleased to be doing it. Right, we've got some excellent emails have come in as well. Mark Newbury says, whoops, evening chaps. Hope you've recovered from Friday. It was stressful enough watching on TV, so I can't imagine for how it was for you fellas in the ground. We didn't cause them the problems we did in the first leg, but we showed what a team can do with its back against the wall, and Donny didn't have anything to lose, so it became a test of character for us, one which we passed in a tense penalty shootout. Good news is I have a ticket for Sunday. Bad news is for Comic-Con. I mean, I don't even know what that is, Mark, but get rid of that. Got a ticket before we had a sniff of Wembley, but to be honest, I don't think my heart could take a game like last time, and I'll be sat at home watching. We can repeat the game. Mark, this is your one chance to go to Wembley with Charlton. Come on. I don't know what Comic-Con is, but don't go to it. Chris Durbin says, Wembley tickets. Hi, I never contacted the programme before, but I wonder if any other supporters have had issues contacting the club regarding tickets. I couldn't get through on phone and online. Option proved difficult. In desperation, I've asked my daughter to try, and fortunately, she managed to get tickets. As a season ticket holder, I should have been able to obtain 4 tickets, but the system only allowed my daughter 3. I'll listen tonight with great interest in your experience and other supporters. I've supported Charlton for over 50 years and feel desperately disappointed that I won't be able to take my daughter to Wembley. Love your programmes. I'm going to miss my Thursday and Sunday evening fix. Thanks for that, Chris. I've obviously I haven't had to buy a ticket, but you guys, has it been okay?
No, mum's, yeah. I don't know what. Pete, I've heard some people have said it online. But I don't know what the problem is online. Because I know before, I know people having problems reserving their season ticket seats. As long as you follow the website, probably
having problems reserving their season ticket seats because the game's at Wembley. And this
we had problems before, but I don't know if it's the same sort of people weren't looking at the website properly.
So if you're still having problems, Chris, I think it goes on a more general sale at some point. Tomorrow. So have a look and see, hopefully you'll be able to get another one. Even if you're not sat together, like I say, everyone who wants to go, you have to make sure you get your tickets because you know it's not quite once in a lifetime. But like I say, unless you're in the front row for Spice Girls, you don't get to go to Wembley very often. Bob Liscombe. Evening one and all, hands up to anybody who can say they actually enjoyed the game on Friday. Everyone's touching the floor in here. I certainly didn't following our early strike, being a half-empty type of guy. I thought it was not going to go our way. This carried on until the penalties, and I hadn't realised that if they missed, and thank Lord that they did, that we had won. I guess Wembley will be the same with so much at stake. I can't bear to think about that after all the team have done, that we could possibly lose. But that's Wembley. It's not a place for losers, but it happens, doesn't it? So let's see. What else have we got? Hendrick has just tweeted in, Donny fans, neutrals and some Charlton fans saying Donny deserved to go through. They outplayed us and was a much better team. Do these people not realise that the playoffs is over two legs? We were much better in the first leg. Over the two, it was probably a draw, and then penalties is a lottery. Yeah, that's a fair point. It seems like you say if you base it on Friday night's game, we deserve to go through because we went through, but you know it wasn't easy. Put it that way, but yeah, you know, we forget that first half in particular over at Doncaster Rovers, we completely outplayed them, and so we did deserve to go through and go to Wembley, which I'm looking forward to. Pete Finch says, taking a leaf out of Huddersfield, but we are still unbeaten in the league at the Valley, as Friday was a playoff game. In fact, and B, we actually won, and C, referred to A. effectively, I was trying to work out if that was our home unbeaten league run gone. I don't know if it counts statistically. But yeah, let's not say it. Yeah, right. Nice message here. Heather McKinley. By the way, the moment was right when Donny started singing K-Sarah, Sarah, when they went 3-1 up. Prattley soon shut them up. Prattley shut a few of us up, to be fair, this season, hasn't he? So there we go. Right, final message that's come in, and hopefully I've got them all. Obviously, we've had a lot in today, so if I've missed you guys, I'm sorry, but thanks for engaging with the show anyway, and you'll have another chance on Thursday. Ollie says, this time next week, we will know if we're promoted or not. I'm already nervous and I can't wait. It's going to be a long week, isn't it, chaps?
I wasn't nervous till I just remembered that.
Yeah, well done, Ollie. I ruined
Cheers that. For
that. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to preview the game on Thursday, which I'm looking forward to. We'll get someone from the Roker Report, probably Nathan actually, to speak about the game. We'll preview it. We'll look back at our previous games. We'll hopefully get a bit of Bose or someone throughout the course of the week. But you know, I'm really looking forward to it. But as I said, you know, we're going to Wembley first time in 21 years, and everyone to do with this club at the Valley and at the training ground. Not in Belgium, deserves it. And I really can't wait to see you all there. It's going to be a fantastic night. We've come to the end of the show. That has flown by, because apparently when you've drawn like 0-0 away at Bury and you have to come in on a Sunday night, that is a long show. But tonight is whizzed by. So thank you all for listening. So many of you have got in touch, because this is a great moment to share how happy we are with the fact that we are going to Wembley. It's been brilliant to share it with you two, Tom and Nathan. Thank you for coming in.
Cheers, Louis.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been a Charlton Live special as we celebrate the fact that we're at Wembley. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Thursday with a big match playoff final Wembley preview. But for tonight, we're going to say goodbye. We're going to say que sera, sera. Whatever will be, we're going to Wembley.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.